Good morning, Oak Hills. I'm so delighted to be here with you all. We're in a series talking about the things that are worth fighting for in your life and that the mission of God is worth fighting for. I grew up in this church from the nursery all the way up through the youth group. And I remember, you know, you guys sending me out for 33 years as a missionary, my whole family. I just thank you so much for that. We translated the Yalunga Bible in West Africa with a church there on the ground. Thank you for doing that, for sending us out to do that work. And now Oak Hills and Pioneer Bible Translators are partnering to provide the leadership for a team of 1,046 people translating the Bible in 157 languages spoken by 500 million people in 41 different countries. So thank you for that. Okay, so a while back, we were going to have a big summit of Bible translation organizations, 11 Bible translation organizations working together to make sure that over the next 8 years, 99.96% of the population of the earth will have the whole New Testament for the first time in history, and everyone else will have at least some scripture. Praise the Lord, right? Okay, so praise the Lord. Yeah, we should clap for that. Totally. All right. So I was asked to do the devotional, and it was a big deal. And about a week before the summit started, I had nothing. I was panicking. So, you know, I have a habit of going out for a run with my dog every morning, you know, in the pre-dawn dark at 5 o'clock in the morning. And my dog is a rescue, but he turned out to be a Belgian Malinois, normally reserved for like canine units and special forces and the military for a reason, okay? And so I'm out praying in the dark. I'm running. Oh God, please reveal to me what I am to say to this austere group of missionaries. And all of a sudden, the dog whips around a tree, snatches up a skunk, starts shaking it and turning in circles right next to me. But in the dark, I thought it was somebody's cat that he was murdering again. And so I swoop down like Batman, gonna save this cat, and I see its tail go, and I knew I had made a terrible mistake. Direct hit. I could taste skunk in my mouth. I can still kind of taste it. And this dog is like rolling on the ground and foaming at the mouth, and I'm like, Lord, I know you're trying to say something to me. But what does it mean? And that's, you know, as I'm running through the neighborhood, the stench of skunk just rolling off of me in waves throughout the whole area, and the dog, and I'm thinking, suddenly, I remember this scripture. But thanks be to God, who always uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. When I got home, I did not have to explain to my wife what happened. She knew. She could tell, right? And everybody in the neighborhood knew, right? And when I got to work, they knew. They could tell. Whatever you pursue in your life, you carry that aroma with you wherever you go. Church, do you carry the aroma of Christ? Or do you bear the skunk-like stench of worldliness or sin? God is calling you today to carry the aroma of Christ. God has a mission. And in Ephesians, he explains it like this. He says, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all of the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. God wants to use you to fill the entire universe with Christ, with the gentleness and the beauty and the character of Jesus. But you have to start with yourself. Fill yourself with Christ. If I pursue Jesus every day in my life, I carry the aroma of Christ. But if I pursue money or power or self-promotion or lust, that's the aroma that will just cling to me like the stench of a skunk every day. What are you filling your life with? The Bible says, and this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Jesus has a plan to put everything on earth under his authority. And when he says everything, everywhere, that includes you. He longs to fill every part of your life. He wants your hands to do the work of Christ. He wants your feet to carry you wherever Christ sends you. He wants your soul, your mind, always to be full only of ideas and thoughts that glorify Christ. Your sexuality, your marriage, or your singleness, how you raise your children, how you love people, all Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, so think about right now, where are those places in your life that are full of darkness, or that are aching and in pain or empty? Invite Christ to fill all of those places. And the most crucial thing you can do is to build an every single day habit to fill your life with a daily scripture reading and a daily moment in prayer. That's the most that you can do to win that battle. And then you can fill your church with Christ. I invite you to come and bring your voluntary acts of selflessness to the church. You know, we used to understand that like getting involved in a church meant to volunteer and to serve selflessly. We used to have a real understanding of the joy of being God's servant. And it's not God's will that you should be a spectator in this place. You know, Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. You know, what are you doing that's just to meet the needs of some other person? You know, are you feeding the hungry? Are you helping the poor? Are you working in the nursery? You know, in the Old Testament law, God said something that I think might still apply to us today. He said, no one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Okay, you're good at something. I mean, you're really gifted at something. And it's your duty and your opportunity to bring those gifts into the church like sacrifices before the Lord. How are you bringing your service into the church? That's how you bring the aroma of Christ to fill the church with Christ. The Bible says that God uses the church to fill all things everywhere with Christ. It says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So God uses us as the body of Christ to reach out to the people all around us. So you also have the duty and the opportunity to fill your neighborhood with Christ. You know, think about me running through the neighborhood and just, you know, waves of skunk rolling off of me. I left a huge impression, right? And, you know, so when you go into your neighborhood and you just bring the love of Christ into the neighborhood and share the love of Christ with your neighbors, that's your opportunity to just carry the aroma of Christ throughout your neighborhood. So the mission of God always starts like right where you are, and then it goes out from there. You know, like it says in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and then Samaria, and then even to the ends of the earth." You have the duty and the opportunity to fill the earth with Christ. Jesus has a plan to use you, yes, you, to fill the whole earth with himself. And this plan started 4,000 years ago when God said to Abraham, "All the families on earth will be blessed through you." You know, David told Goliath, "The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." God told Isaiah, "I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth." God told Isaiah that he would send his people even to the distant islands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. That is how you say in ancient Hebrew, the country Indonesia, right? You know, even the islands that have never heard. Daniel prophesied that by the time Jesus comes, it will be true that all nations and peoples of every language will worship him. And Jesus said that when he comes back, he will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. He told us, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." We are the way that God fills the whole earth with Christ. The mission to fill the universe with Christ is such an important central part of the passion of God and his plan for his people that literally every part of the Bible explains it to us. You know, The Bible is saying things like he foretold in 2,700 years ago through Isaiah. He said, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know, so what's the Bible saying to us here? What's God trying to get across to us? He's saying, yes, the people of God gather locally in a church, but the vision extends all the way to the ends of the earth. All right, so this is what God is doing in our day. The Bible is saying that one day a great generation will arise, a generation that will literally flood the earth with the knowledge of God. And we are that generation. We have work to do, but so much is happening right now. You know, back in the 1940s, when the Bible translation movement started, basically no one in the world could have the Word of God in their language. But now, we live in a day where 6 billion people have the full Bible in their language. Another 1 billion people have the New Testament in their language. About 660 million people have some scripture in their language. And only 30 million people in about 550 languages have absolutely no scripture at all. And right now, the Illuminations Collective Impact Alliance, the 11 Bible translation organizations with whom we cooperate with, their goal is that in 8 years, all of those people, 99.96% of the world's population, would have at least the New Testament. And all the other languages would have at least some scripture. And then the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, just as Isaiah proclaimed. All right. So, on your way out the door, we invite you to check out the Bible's display that's out there underneath the stairway. You know, you're going to see kind of a representation of what God is doing in the world right now. You know, you're going to see some of these like stands with people group names next to it, and they're going to have full Bibles sitting there where we finish the whole Bible together. And then you're going to see places where, you know, ethnic groups where we've only got the New Testament translated. And then you're going to go on, and there's basically these empty stands with just one book of the Bible or something on there representing language communities where we've gotten going, but we don't have a full New Testament anymore or yet. And then you'll see other language communities represented there with a stand with nothing on it, you know, up against the glass wall over here. And that's places where we've just gotten started. And then you'll see a table just full of empty stands with representing 146 different languages where Oak Hills and Pioneer Bible Translators are working together to get Bible translation projects started in all of those languages as a part of making sure that everyone, everywhere, has the Word of God in their language. So Rebecca and I worked in a place in West Africa, in a country where the need was huge. My next door neighbor that we moved in next to was a man named Washington Kamara, and he worked kind of as a farmer, kind of as a carpenter and kind of a lumberjack. And he had 3 wives, and he was in the church. And there was a lot of, all of his kids were right there next to our house all the time, and we got to know them really well. And one day I was working on the Bible translation project on the porch of our house with a bunch of people, and his daughter, Yedba, started to just wail like somebody had died. She just kept wailing and crying. And I thought, man, I've got to go find out what happened to Yedba. So I went over there to their house. When I got there, I was like, hey, what happened to Yedba? And they said, oh, her brother ate her papaya. I was like, I don't even like papaya, you know. But I realized they were hungry. These little kids were hungry. They didn't have a way to get an education. And we would stay up at night with these little kids, teaching them the alphabet and teaching them how to read in their language. And this Usman, this papaya thief Usman, who stole his sister's papaya, he grew up to be the kid that whenever the village kids were picking on my kids, he would stand up for them and he would protect them. And he grew up to be a fine man. I remember, he went off to the capital city, and for a long time he was just, you know, unemployed down there. But this capital city's, you know, surrounded by 2 million Susu-speaking people that are, it's 99.9% Muslim. And so we said, you know, we could maybe hire this guy to do reading groups of the New Testament and start just reading the Bible with people. And at one time he had like 18 groups all up and down the coast with whom he was reading the Bible in their language. He became a missionary to this Susu people group. And he was reading with all these people for like 10 years. And 2 weeks ago, we were in Guinea. And this, we sat there with this young man, and he said, listen, something really good has happened. One of these reading groups has become a church of about 13 men. And, you know, what you don't understand, maybe, is that these are like, for a huge swath of the country, this is like the only church in this whole ethnic group. You know, and if you go to the next ethnic group over, it's like another 5 million people, 99.99% Muslim. They don't, you know, you don't have any churches. You just go from city to city, town to town, and there's not any churches in that ethnic group, almost just a few out there. And then you go to the next group over, it's like 4 million people, 99.99%. Not hardly any churches in the whole ethnic group. And here, this precious little gathering of people is finally following Jesus. You know, 40% of the earth lives in unreached people groups like this. There's a huge job that remains to be done. So that I asked Usman, tell me, like, what do you guys do on Sundays? He said, we get together and we pray. And then we read the Bible together and we talk about our problems and our challenges in our lives. And we talk about ways that we can overcome those challenges in a way that's Christian and consistent with the Bible passage that we read. And then we pray for each other, and that's it, we go home. That's the church. All right, praise the Lord. I have been working for 33 years with one prayer request for 33 years, that God would plant a church in every Yolunka village. And when we got there, there was just one church with 40 people in it. And now there's like, you know, three pretty solid churches in the Yolunka people. And now, you know, Usman has started this other church. And we've got a couple of house churches going in the nearby town near where they are. And we're in the process this year of sending out a locally trained medical missionary to the area of the Yolunka people up north, and we've got some disciples up there, and he's going to gather those disciples into a church meeting up there. So when we started 33 years ago in this context, so resistant to Christ, we had one. Now we can kind of count seven. Well, praise the Lord. Someday, I'm going to stand up here and say, every single Yolunka village has a church. I mean, you know, someday I'll probably have to like roll in a wheelchair and I'll tell you, every Yolunka village has a church. You know, that day's going to come. I believe it. But right now, it's starting. The Bible teaches us that Jesus came so that he might fill the entire universe with himself, so that he would bring everything, everywhere, under the authority of Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. And that is what you are doing, Oak Hills Church. People around the world are far from God in hard, resistant places. And they don't have a way to learn about the gospel of Christ. And you, church, have sacrificially, faithfully, patiently sent missionaries out to Brazil, to different parts of South America, to Central America, to Mexico. You've sent them to Haiti. You've sent people to minister to immigrants in the United Kingdom. You've sent people to East Africa, to West Africa, to the Ukraine, and even all the way to East Asia, filling the earth with the beauty and the grace of Christ. You've probably heard us say that we're all called to walk across the street, but some of us are called to cross the ocean. But everyone can participate across the ocean too. You know, maybe you're saying to yourself, nah, that's not me. I mean, there's no way I'm going to like quit my job and go to some other country and try to learn another language and, you know, try to translate the Bible. And you know, if that's you, that's actually fine. We missionaries, we love that stuff. That's what we live for. You know, let us do that part. That's why Oak Hills sends us out. But there are some things that you can do that a missionary could never do. You could fund the mission. You know, this is an invitation to give far more generously to Oak Hills Church so that they can keep sending us out. They can keep sending missionaries around the world like they have been. But you know another thing, you can pray for these missionaries. You could even go on a short-term trip and encourage these missionaries. You know, I've been praying that there would be somebody in each service who would actually be called to quit their job and go overseas and do a mission work in some distant place. And if that's you, like if you're sitting in your seat saying, whoa, he's talking about me right now, then I invite you to look at that missions website. You know, talk to Sarah Lyons, the global outreach director. Church, you guys are so great at sending out missionaries. You know, you have so much to be proud of in all that you've done since 1958. But today, you have the opportunity to get more personally involved. What will you do? Okay, so the other day, I was getting ready for a board meeting. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go out, take a quick run around town, you know, one more time before the board meeting meets. And I ran outside in the pre-dawn dark, and yeah, I got sprayed by a skunk again. The dog's eighth time, my third time. Maybe you have an addiction like this too, you know. You know it's not good, but you keep finding yourself going back there. What we pursue in the dark, we carry that aroma with us in the light of day. I had to stand in front of the board of directors presenting smelling like a skunk. You have the duty and the opportunity to do your part of the mission of God, and that's worth fighting for in your life. First, fill your life with Christ. Then, start helping to fill the church. And then your neighborhood, and then the earth. And yes, even heaven will start to fill up too. So church, you know, when you get up tomorrow morning, what will you pursue? May the Creator God help you to fill your life with Christ. May He cause you to carry the aroma of Christ everywhere you go, filling the earth with the sweet scent of eternal life. May the eternal God anoint you with the power to fill the universe with Christ. And remember, don't let Satan skunk your life. Let's pray. God, we give ourselves to you and we invite you to work in this church. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Help us to send out missionaries. Help us to pray. Help us to go on short-term trips. I pray, Lord, that you would choose each one of us to do a part of your mission. We pray in Jesus' mighty name.